Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the beautiful rhythm of the church year, here we are again. It's Lent, a time to reflect and repent, to pray and to praise, to recall and rejoice in our Lord Jesus as he moves humbly toward the cross and powerfully in victory from the grave. Lent leads us to Easter. It's a time for blessing as we wait for the return of our Jesus. As we begin our Lenten journey, we turn first to the Old Testament before we move into our reading from Luke, which will guide our path through this Lent and Easter. To recall the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis. We've been studying it recently in our Lifelight Bible study, but here's a quick summary, actually getting into what we're going to look at for next week. Joseph was the favored son of his father Jacob. His older brothers resented him, and Joseph wasn't faultless in this, of course, if you remember. But his brothers' hatred grew, so they abused him. Evil. They sold him as a slave to traders going to Egypt. Evil. Poured animal blood on his coat and told their father Jacob that Joseph had been killed by wild beasts. Evil. In Egypt, Joseph's life was up and down. He was thrown in prison. Evil. But finally, through God's blessing, he rose to prominence in Egypt, and God used Joseph's planning and wisdom to save many people from starving to death, including his own father and the brothers who had done such evil things to him. Then Jacob, the father, dies, and Joseph's brothers are afraid that now Joseph will take revenge on them. But he doesn't. He says something to them about their history and about the years that have gone by. He says, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good." Now, don't misunderstand Joseph's words. His brothers meant evil against him, and it was evil. They meant evil, and they did evil. God didn't change that part, not at all. But God used the evil for a larger purpose, even when no one knew what God was up to. Everyone was clueless as to what God was going to do, but God was not clueless. God never is. It's Lent, and we are going to ponder Luke 22 and 23 and on into the victory in Luke 24 through our midweek services and Holy Week. We'll begin by reflecting on the reading you have heard, and we will see some very important truths here. The first truth is this: it's time for a greater Passover. Now, Luke goes out of his way to mention no less than 5 times that it's a particular time of the year and that a particular festival is about to happen. Passover. He says it in verse 1 and then in verses 7 and 8 and 11 and 13. And there's a lot you can say about Passover that they were living, but I'll just say this. Passover was the time when Israel remembered. They remembered that they were living under the thumb of under the power of evil. They were slaves in Egypt centuries before the night that Luke is describing. Evil had come against them. Evil was done to them. Pharaoh and the gods of Egypt resisted God's plan to set his people Israel free. Even though God sent plague after plague, Pharaoh's heart was hard. And even after Pharaoh allowed Israel to leave, he changed his mind and hunted them. and chased them through the middle of the Red Sea. He tried to enslave them. He meant to destroy them. Pharaoh wanted to put Israel to death. He meant evil, but God meant it for good, to save Israel, that Pharaoh and his host he drowned in the sea. And God's people were rescued. They stepped out onto dry land. They passed through death and out into life with their God. Their enemies meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What God did at Passover so long before, what God did through the Exodus from Egypt, God is going to do in a greater way in Jesus, in his Son. That's the first truth that emerges from our reading. It's Passover, and it's time for a greater salvation, a greater deliverance than ever before, a greater movement into death and out again into life. And here's the second truth. Evil is going to come against Jesus. Evil men of every sort, and Luke emphasizes that the evil one, Satan himself, is the driving force behind the plan to destroy Jesus. Just look at the lineup in these verses. In verse 2, here at the Passover, the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death, for they feared the people. The priests and the scholars who are supposed to guide and uphold the people and prepare them to receive their own Messiah, these men now are looking for a way to put that Messiah to death. And Luke says, for they feared the people. Did they think that the people would defend Jesus, would stop them from doing evil to him? If they thought that, they overestimated the faith and courage of their people. But it's not just these twisted religious leaders. Luke rushes on in verse 3, then Satan entered Judas called Iscariot. Satan, he has been the evil strongman who hates God and his ways and who makes people his captives. In Luke 13, Jesus healed a woman whom Satan had bound with illness for 18 years. In Luke 10, Jesus sent out 72 disciples, and they cast out demons. And Jesus said that he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Satan is the strong man, but Jesus is the stronger man who has come to bind Satan. And now the evil one engages in the battle to destroy Jesus. And Satan uses Judas. We may be so accustomed to the story that we don't even feel the shock and the tragedy of that. Even though he was one of the 12, Judas, we don't know what we, and we mustn't guess how it happened, but Judas does this. And he approaches the chief priests, and together they make a plan. They think they need to avoid a crowd, but the crowd will turn on Jesus too and cry out for him to be crucified. At the first Passover in Egypt, the evil was bad enough. Now, that evening long ago, the evil is so much worse. Evil is coming against Jesus. But now, a beautiful third truth from this reading. This third truth is made all the more wonderful because of that second truth we just highlighted, that is the evil in verses 2 through 6. That evil is like the darkness that grows all around you when thunderstorms are building and rushing toward you. Human enemies, a human traitor, the great supernatural enemy, Satan himself. These are all allied, joining together, whether they know it or not, against Jesus. And as we know, their plan is going to work even better than they hoped and probably prayed for. Because the people will not defend Jesus. The crowd, too, will cry out for his death, his destruction. Verses 2 through 6 of the reading are filled with evil that is going to happen. But the third truth emerges when, at verse 7 and then 4 more times, Luke emphasizes something. 5 different times, Luke tells us that everything is ready. Things are prepared. Prepare the Passover. Where shall we prepare? A large upper room furnished. Prepare there. And they prepared the Passover. Prepare. Ready. Now we can't be sure about one point here. It's certainly possible that the Lord Jesus is here exercising his power as the Son of God to predict what will happen. A man will meet you, follow him, the master of the house will show you, and so on. But Luke doesn't say that, and it could also be very ordinary, in a way. The Lord Jesus has made arrangements. He has made sure that things are ready. He's made sure that everything is prepared. And that is because Jesus is ready. Jesus is prepared. He knows about the evil. He knows what is coming. He knows that all he will have left is to trust and to know that the Father's plan is coming true, that the Father's plan will come true. That's why in Luke, the last thing that Jesus prays from the cross is, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Evil is coming, and God's plan is for evil to do its worst, for sin and Satan to rule. Jesus says this when he is arrested. "This is your hour in the power of darkness." But Jesus is ready, and he knows that in this greater rescue than Joseph accomplished for his brothers, in this greater exodus than Moses performed, Jesus knows that his enemies meant everything for evil and that they would do the ultimate evil. But his Father meant it for good, and the greatest salvation of all will come. Peter thinks that he is ready to die with Jesus, but he isn't. The women don't believe that Jesus will rise from the dead, and so they get spices ready on that first Easter. They are ready to go and anoint the corpse of Jesus. But they were wrong. Jesus is ready to face the evil and take it onto himself. And he knows that the Father will raise him from the dead and give a victory over sin and evil that will never pass away. Everything is now ready. When the Lenten journey is done, how will our faith be different? Well, in the most important way of thinking, Christian faith is never different. It's always the same, holding on to God's promises and relying utterly on Jesus. But this Lent, we can pray that our faith will grow and our grip will tighten as we hold on to Jesus. We can pray that our mouths will be opened and we will say to Satan and to every enemy, and strangely even to ourselves, "You can't take God by surprise. Jesus is ever ready to save and redeem. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Please rise as we continue with our offertory.